This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Joe Rogan, but recently he actually, it seems like he started up again. So I want to get your guys' comments on that. He had a guest on, and we've been kind of protesting like, hey, Joe, we're out here. Why don't you have a Muslim on? At one point, he had Faraz Zahabi on here, and they had a great discussion towards the end. But recently he had Ayan the Liar, and I think she changed her name, and there's a great documentary. It's called Ayan Hursi Ali Exposed, where they actually, these are non-Muslims, I believe in the Netherlands, who actually did a documentary, and they went to verify the statements that she was saying, and they exposed her for being a liar. So he's bringing a liar on his show, and they're talking about Islam. Do you guys know about this, and what are your comments?
Okay. Well, you know, Ayan Hursi has been known for a long time. She's been around since a long time. Bottom line, bro, you want to make money, you just leave Islam and start writing a book and start talking smack about Islam. You get tons of people supporting you. And it's been happening. It's been happening with so many people. Of course, they have the leeway to say, well, I was a Muslim. I am from their culture. I've gone through this. It's always the damsel in distress type of, you know, arguments, and people are willing to put their money on that. They love that type of drama, you know, not without my child, princesses of Saudi Arabia, all these. You go through airports and you see these books in these, you know, these bookshops right there on the first display, right, with like these niqabi women running away from their oppressive husbands, leaving Islam, blah, blah, blah. I mean, look, man, this is nothing new. The enemies of Islam have been using these kind of tactics for the longest time. Sadly, obviously, these people give platforms to these because it brings a lot of ignorant people. The majority of the world, I would say, till today still, and that's why we're doing what we're doing. We're trying to bring the real issues to the tables because majority of the world is still ignorant of Islam. They're still following only media Islam, drive-by Islam, drive-through Islam. That's all they get from the news here and there. And it's very easy with labels, extremists, misogynists, to just dismiss anyone, right? So the world is upset with religion. This is the truth. And they will project those feelings onto Islam. The Christian war, for example, a lot of the Western countries now, I mean, especially in Europe, they don't identify as believers anymore, right? They've had it with religion, with the church, with priests, with all these things. But when they hear about Islam, problem is they oversimplify things and say, well, it's the same thing with Islam. It's just another religion, organized religion. We don't need this. We want to free ourselves from the shackles of Islam. So that's why it makes our work very difficult to reach to these people because they already have these preconceived ideas and they dismiss you without even listening to you. Right, you're not important. So it's just sad. That's what we're doing. What we're doing, that we're trying to reach out to.
Ali, this isn't Gabriel. This is what disturbs me: is that you have someone like Joe.
They've also banned hijabs on the beach too, right? Haven't they done that?
And just to keep it fair and balanced, to bring on an academic, someone a Muslim, to talk. But imagine, because you guys obviously you've heard of Joe Rogan, one of the top podcasts out in the world.
To be breaking into people's homes, mosques, associations, whatever, looking for Islamist materials of dawah. Dawah means the proselytizing, and they will try and put a stop to that. They'll try and police literally what goes into people's minds and comes out of their mouths.
Wow. That seems very dangerous to me.
And COVID made it possible.
But he's into martial arts. So imagine you have a person you're bringing on who's built their whole career on martial arts, right? But this person is a fake black belt, for example. So now this woman, the Ayan Hursi, the liar Ali, I think she even changed her name. They exposed her name. Lie. But the thing is here, he's bringing on someone whose whole career is based on a lie.
Yeah.
Do you find that odd?
Well, the thing is, you see, sometimes people are closet Islamophobes. Mm. So when you're a closet Islamophobe, you know when you come out, you're gonna get a bit of a backlash. So you're like, you know what I'll do is, I'll be honest, I'll be very straight with Jordan Peterson as well.
I have the great privilege today of talking with Ayan Hursi Ali. she's one of my heroes. I guess that's the case ever since I read her book.
Recently, Mohammed Hijab done a video about it, and Joe Rogan. Jordan Peterson, he does, like, we'll be honest, we've been given him the benefit of doubt, but he's starting to sound like a closet Islamophobe. I'm so sorry.
And then people that follow the more radical version of the religion that wants to convert people, to discuss it, to acknowledge it, and to automatically classify any discussion of it mm-hmm. as Islamophobic. And then I've seen this labeled, this label put on you, that you are Islamophobic.
He's made certain statements about Islam which he has no knowledge about. And then Joe Rogan invites this woman.
The assertion that Islam is a religion of peace. If they want to believe that Islam is a religion of peace, let's say it along. Let's do it along with them.
It's as if he's saying, you know what? Why don't you say the things I can't? Let me invite you. That's what it is. Yani, I can't say it, but I'm my guest. You know, no one can say nothing. You know, I invited a guest. You know, I didn't tell her to say that. You know, come on, let's not fool around here. It's very simple what you're doing. You can invite anyone. Mohammed Hijab, Hamza Zortzis. There's so many people that you can invite that could come and talk about Islam, but that's not going to be good for you. You don't like that. So the thing is to invite people like her, who's an outright, yani, she's a liar. She lied about her whole life, her whole story, you know, and she's there coming and she's lying and saying, you know, that she's talking about forced, that in Islam that we're allowed to, you know, she's talking about dawah and, you know, we can force people to accept, they have to accept Islam by the sword. This is the biggest myth ever. You know, there's specific verses in the Quran, in Surah Baqarah verse 256, you know, very clearly, yeah, Islam, you cannot force anyone to their your religion. It's simple. The expansion of the Islamic empire does not mean there was forced conversions, yeah? It's the empire expanding doesn't mean, you know, people being forced to accept Islam. You know, so people have this thinking that, oh yeah, the Islamic empire expanded and they're converting people by the swords. It's not like that. It's as simple as that. To you, your religion, to me, mine. I can convey, but I can't force. And we have many examples. We have many examples in history where individuals could have forced. Like Umar ibn Khattab, he had a slave where he said, look, if only you accepted Islam, you know, etc. So you have many examples where people were given the chance to accept Islam. But yeah, there's an outright liar. And yeah, and inshallah, let's see, hopefully she'll debate Mohammed Hijab one day.
She touched upon it, Gabrielle. I don't know if you want to touch upon this, or Ali. She, in her talk with Joe Rogan, she touched upon, and we cover this all the, I mean, we've covered this so many times, but she mentioned, I believe, the forced marriage, honor killings.
You, as a young woman, were going to be forced into an arranged marriage, and this is what made you flee and head to Europe and wind up in Holland, correct?
That's correct. Yeah. Had he been with us earlier, he might have taken this initiative to force me into marriage at the age of 15, 16, 17.
You guys, you get kind of like, this is like an old record, old record, you know, that just keeps playing, and you get, you know, tired of hearing this. It goes from someone being ignorant who just sincerely doesn't know, but then somebody who obviously knows the truth, and then even her community there called her out on that, you know. So what do you say for the person who sincerely maybe just bit on this?
Yeah.
And how would you respond for this honor killing, forced marriages?
Right. I think sincerity is the key here. And you can defer and you can have, you know, issues, whatever it is, you know. Even with Jordan Peterson, you know, I was reading his book. He's a smart guy, man, you know. But he's really disappointing because he should know better on the academic approach of verifying information. He's an academician, right? So he's being academically dishonest in the statements that he's making.
You're talking about Jordan Peterson now. This Jordan Peterson.
Yeah, I'm talking about Jordan Peterson. Just so I wanted to make that point, right? Because he's a very smart guy. He's a very smart man. Here you understand that it's not enough to just be smart. You have to be also honest, okay? And you have to, if you're doing so much research, you know how much academic integrity is important and checking and verifying information. That is the whole, you know, foundation of Islam. Mustalah al-Hadith, the science of verifying hadith and knowledge and information, is based on reliability, on, you know, academic checking of who says what, who is this person, are they qualified to actually relay this information. It's a huge, huge science. That what's the objective? To just make sure that honesty is there when you're passing on information, right? Why? So that obviously you're not going to misguide people with the wrong things. with this woman, may Allah guide her. Obviously, the enemies of Islam have been using this type of tactics from the time of the Prophet. And subhanAllah, I mean, I was teaching a class on the fiqh of Sirah, and we were mentioning the incident of the person who came and asked the Prophet about the statement in the Quran, Ya Ukhta Harun, O sister Aaron, right? Referring to Maryam alayhi salam, right? And till today, bro, the Prophet doesn't explain it very much. Like, you know, like we say, Ben Israel, Abina Ibrahima, this is how they used to refer to humble people, pious people, as for their ancestors and so on. You know, we are Ben Israel, but we're not directly the sons of Israel. I mean, sorry, Ben Adam, and Ben Israel were Ben Israel, and so on. Till today, bro, you'll find this argument on the Answering Islam website that, Prophet didn't know that, whose sister is Aaron, and so on, Mary, sorry. You know, it's just ridiculous. So all these forced marriages, forced conversions by the sword and so on, it's been refuted, it's been academically approached and shown and so on. And I'm not denying that there was, in the history of Islam, in some cases, no doubt, certain rulers and leaders who did force converse. There are some, okay? There's no doubt about it. It's not that. That's not the question. The question is, does Islam preach that? Is that the theory of Islam? This is what's debated. As to what some person did in this century or that century, I mean, that you can point to every single nation and religion. There's always going to be certain bad apples that interpreted things and did things their whole way. Now you have the, for example, the Hashashiyun, you know, the where the word assassin comes from, right? And how Salahuddin was directed his attacks towards them, actually, you know. But these were claiming to be Muslims who, right, were doing all kinds of evil things. People will do a lot of things, okay? Bottom line is, what does Islam preach? What does Quran preach? What does the Sunnah preach? This is what we ask the world to look at. All right? This is what we ask the world to look at.
Ali?
Yeah, no, there's nothing I can really add on that, but it's just like, you know, they just have to repeat the same cycle. You know, we have a lot of people who we deal with, like Muhammad Hijab, who he debated a guy called Rotten Wood. And it just, you know, it just destroyed them, you know. And the thing is, with these people, you need to understand, they're like Iblis. Yani Iblis disobeyed Allah, and after he disobeyed Allah, he was doomed to hellfire. Now, when he was doomed to hellfire, he asked, even though how rebellious he was, and how it shows how rebellious Iblis is in this instance, and it shows how merciful Allah is. He asks Allah, he makes a dua to Allah to allow him till the day of judgment to show, like, and it's very bizarre, actually. Iblis wants to prove Allah wrong. He said, oh Allah, give me time so I can prove you wrong by showing that these people, the Adam that you wanted me to bow down to, that these people are not going to obey you. And it's very strange, you know, when you go through that, you know, mentality. So what it just shows you is that Iblis is going to the hellfire, and his main objective is to take as many people there with him. Yeah? As many people there with him. It's as simple as that. And these people adopt the same method as Iblis. You know, Christianity in the West is diminishing. You know, literally by the millions. By the millions, people are waking up. Like, the Trinity doesn't make sense. There was a Christian Unitarian in history. I can't remember his name. He said, how much longer is the Muhammadans going to laugh at us with this concept of the Trinity? You know, they're mocking us. You know, we need to get rid of it. He understood the problem. But the Christians, what's happening is that because they're seeing a lot of people in the West leaving Christianity, what people like this Rotten Wood guy and his likes, what they do is, if you realize, even when we go to Speaker's Corner, the Christian missionaries there are not talking about the Bible anymore. They have left. It's like, when we go there, all they're doing is, there's a specific woman there who screams for 8 hours straight when we're at Speaker's Corner, insulting the Prophet. 8 hours straight. And I'm thinking, there must be some kind of a jinn inside you to have the power to do that.
And I remember my mother going off to see witch doctors.
So she's continuously doing that. And then we go to other missionaries. All they're doing is talking about Islam. This hadith, this verse. And I'm thinking, why do you not talk about the good news? The gospel, Jesus loves everybody. They have totally abandoned their mission. Their objective is to cause people to leave Islam. That's their main objective. It's as good as saying, we're going to the fire. We want to take as many people as we can. And this shows you the intellectual power of Islam, that intellectually we have shown people the concept of the Trinity doesn't make sense. The Bible is not reliable. Mark, Matthew, Luke, John, and Paul, we don't know who they are. You know, like you said, we have science of hadith. We know a lot about a lot of companions. Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, if you took the Bible and these people through the science of hadith, you won't even have fabricated hadith. It would be worse than that. So the thing is, what's happening now is these people, sadly, have turned towards hate. And people like Jordan Peterson and Joe Rogan, they don't realize that their actions by inviting a liar like that to their podcast is going to cause many more people who are going to carry out attacks that happen in New Zealand. Because people get scared. Oh, this is what Islam is. What a violent religion. We need to put a stop to this. This is the reason why I confronted Britain First, Tommy Robinson, Jada Franzen. I went after them one by one because I knew their actions are causing people to die. Just as much when I went after the Al-Muhajirun and some of them, I went after them and to tell them to, you know, what you guys are upon is madness. Because it's the same thing with them. They go and preach. Innocent, silly people who want to belong and join them, carrier attacks in London Bridge, we get the results of that. We get the backlash. So the thing is, this is what they're doing, and their main objective is that, you know.
This is interesting because in their discussion, she talks about the Meccan period and Medinan period when she's talking to Joe Rogan.
Okay, I'm sorry.
The peaceful Muhammad is not Medina. It is
the peaceful Muhammad is Mecca.
Mecca.
So Mecca is where he first came out. And so if he says, if a Muslim today says, unto you your religion, unto me mine, I'm tolerant, all of that, you are invoking Mecca.
And it's interesting, I think, Gabriel, you quoted an ayah, I don't know if it was this was the one that, and then you have the whole, you know, persecution. You know, you guys, many people don't know that the Muslims were and still are the most persecuted people, you know, on the planet. And you had at that time, they were persecuted, tortured. And then when Prophet Muhammad, when he had, peace be upon him, the opportunity when they conquered, when they came back to Mecca where they were expelled. I mean, people don't, I don't know if Joe Rogan knows this, the scenario, if he can paint it. Imagine like what they watch all these people out there who come back after they've been oppressed and they just butcher everybody and people are like rooting them on because there was an injustice that had been done to them. But all this, you could just name all the, from the boycotting, the torture, et cetera, a list just goes miles long of all the oppression and torture and everything that happened to the Muslims when Prophet Muhammad came back and conquered Mecca with an army of 10,000 strong. I mean, what happened from there? You guys fill in the blank. I mean, what would a normal commander general, you know, do to the people? But what actually happened? And then he came back to Mecca.
Right, right. I mean, yeah, we have to also understand.
Did he like slaughter 90% of the people? What did he do? What were the famous words? What were the famous words, brothers? What was the famous words when he came back into Mecca after all these years? For Joe Rogan, so if he doesn't know this.
No, he said basically, I tell you what, Yusuf, alayhi salam, Prophet Joseph said to his family, to his brothers, go for you are free, you know?
So he freed the people? Is it true he says, spread the food, spread the peace?
This was when he entered Medina. Ash-salam, when he came to Medina, he said, spread peace and spread salams, and you know. So definitely, I mean, the message of the Prophet salam, okay, is a balanced message. Yes, there were six people that were blacklisted when he entered Mecca. They're supposed to be executed because they're criminals. So maybe sometimes, again, the Muslims take a very... we don't want to appear weak either. Okay, we're not like just pacifists, right? No one should misunderstand and take it for granted that, no, the Muslims have a very strong background, very strong history of warriors. And you know, because we sometimes appear, you know, too pacifistic. But I think what Ali's talking about here is talking about crazy people are just taking things in their own manners and their own hands and just doing targeting innocent people and whatnot, right? Because they don't understand Islam properly. The Prophet was the most balanced person, the most balanced general, the most merciful. Yet at the same time, when he had to put his foot down, he knew how to put his foot down. And the laws of Islam are no joke, you know, no doubt about it. But we need to understand context. We need to understand application. We need to understand how and what. It's so strange and so hypocritical that the world recognizes the contribution of Alexander the Great or Napoleon or any of the great generals, the Roman generals, you name them, or Caesar and so on. It's studied in universities as civilization. Yet when you talk about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people are the biggest liars and the biggest, let me use the word bigots, okay, because they love to use these words, and the biggest, you know, academically dishonest people. Look at his life. He is number one. I mean, there's no doubt about it. and not just because he was ranked as number one and the most influential, but when you look at the discussion to why, it's because he was so comprehensive in his application of law, of virtues, of morality, of bravery, of manhood, of mercy, right? He basically, the Prophet knew exactly which skill to use in which situation. And I think this is where most people don't know today. You know, they want to do this at this time, and they want to do something else at the wrong time. And this is not wisdom. Hikmah is to put the right thing in the right place at the right time. At the same time, we're not apologetic. We're not, you know, dumbing down Islam. We're not, to use Ali's words, you know, sugarcoating things. We're academically presenting Islam to the world. We're saying Islam is a solution. Islam has a solution for criminals. Islam has a solution for lawfulness. Islam has a solution for all the ills of society that human, society right now is sinking so deep into, right? I mean, the world is being led by so many different systems and philosophies that have nothing to do with Islam, yet they have not solved the problems of poverty. They have not solved the problems of, you know, crime. They have not solved the problems of economics, and people are dying all over the world, starving. No one cares, right? All they're reporting is all kinds of other things. There are huge problems. People are in depression. People are not doing well. Okay, resources are being consumed by a very small percentage. Okay, look it up. Look at the research. Look at, you want to look at World Health Organization, look at other stuff, not only what they see on the news. Look at everything, okay? And then I'm asking, okay, where's the solution? You guys are leading the world with democracy and all your Western philosophy. Okay, fine. I mean, people are saying, don't talk about this. Yeah, but why not? Why not? If you look at even within their political systems and within their problems, there's huge differences, the left, the right, all the political parties within. There's always been a push and shove, okay? So why not? Everyone has the right to speak and to at least ask, well, where are the solutions? Yeah. Where are the solutions?
Ali, before I ask you this next question, just for the audience, I mean, that documentary for the woman that Joe Rogan brought on, Ayan Dilawar Hirsi, the few things just for people to know is she had in fact been living in Kenya. This is what one of the lies that she was called out for was she had in fact been living in Kenya for over 10 years and has never been experienced a war in her entire life. Okay, so this is one of them. Two was, to the contrary, her brother, aunt, and former husband all testified that she was indeed present at her wedding, which she lied that she wasn't. Another third, in fact, she talks about not having established, you know, because this is what her books, everything's written on, but in fact, she had maintained close contact with her family after asylum, and also later even met with her former husband, which is, she was saying she was petrified, scared of, running from, and the list goes on of lies. But how do you, because Ali, you probably obviously have a lot of experience, but when you quote this verse from the verbatim word of God Almighty, Allah, the Quran, living miracle for everybody, Joe Rogan, Jordan Peter, just read the book, man. It's amazing. Like people can, it's like someone who's good at calculus and all these sciences, but then they can't add up 1 + 1 = 2. You'd be like, what's wrong with these people? You know what I mean? So same thing with Jordan Peterson. It's good you brought him up, Gabriel. But another person, and then you made a great example. These are like closet Islam haters, you know, hey, and they bring out people and let them speak for themselves, being bold, you know, instead of doing it for themselves. But there's this ayah verse in the Quran, chapter 60, verse 8, where it says, God Almighty, Allah does not forbid you from being kind and just towards those who do not fight you because of your deen, your religion, or expel you from your homes. Allah loves those who do justice. When you share this, what kind of response do you get, Ali?
Thing is, these people that we come from, like, be it, like, you know, the Britain First, be it Lauren Southern, actually she did a U-turn. She left the whole thing, you know. And when me and Mohammed Hijab went to the the freedom of speech talk for Tommy Robinson, and it was quite bizarre to me. I see that as a social experiment when I went there, because we went there, it was a freedom of speech for everybody. I thought, okay, if it's a freedom of speech for everyone, I'm sure they won't mind me as a Muslim, Ali Dawa, coming. And when we went there, if he let me speak, he would have made a good point for his agenda. He didn't, because we were surrounded by thugs and we was about to be killed. So this shows you, this freedom of speech is absolute nonsense. And he didn't let me speak. I went there. I said, look, I want to speak. You know what they said to him? If he goes, we'll kill him. If he goes on stage, we'll kill him. And I was like, well, okay, what happened to freedom of speech there? So you can see they're absolute hypocrites. So coming back to the question, whenever I approach them, when we talk about Surah Mumtahina verse 8, you know, Allah does not forbid you from being just and kind to those who did not fight you based on your faith or kick you out of your houses. Allah only forbids you based on basically those who are fighting you. Oh, they say this is abrogated. I go, okay, where is it abrogated? Where is it abrogated? The thing is, they have a thinking process and they know they're doing it for other than the truth. It's not the truth. They're doing it for gains. It's mainly financial. So anything that you bring that's going to dismantle that is a direct threat to their purpose. So what they do is they go denial, they don't know, they shout, they do all kinds of stuff to get out of it. So it's very clear, the Quran is very clear. That's why when I went to Tommy Robinson, I asked him a very direct question. Can you please show me a single verse in the Quran, the Hadith, the Islamic literature, in history, that tells us that we can go out and kill innocent people because they're disbelievers. Just because they are disbelievers, we can kill them. Nothing. Zilch, the guy, I asked him 20 times in that 1.5 hour, and that was my main purpose of going to him, because he had nothing. He knows that Islam does not teach this. But if he acknowledges that and he knows that, and this is what disbelief is, that you hide the truth. Yani, that's exactly what they do. They know it's a lie. They know it's a lie. They know the truth is there, but they cover it. And that is the reason why the punishment is so severe, the hellfire in the hereafter, because you know it's the truth. You know you're lying. You know your actions and your words that you're saying are going to cause a ripple effect, like New Zealand, the attacks that happened in Christchurch. But you would rather do that because you're benefiting. And recently, one of his friends, Tom Robinson's, they came out that they were having cocaine parties with these money that were raising funds for. They were having cocaine parties, you know. And these men, let me just tell you one thing as well. Tommy Robinson, and there's one guy.
This is a fact. Women. Wait, who was having coke? They were drug. Yeah, yeah. That's that white powder you put in your nose, huh? Yeah, who was doing that? That's verified.
He's got a friend called Dana White. I think it's called Dana White. Yeah.
Dana. Wait. Dana White from the UFC.
No. I think I got confused with the UFC. No, Danny. His name is Dano, something like okay. that. Yeah, I don't know if it's white, yeah, but something along those lines, yeah. I got
This is one of the number one Islam haters you're talking about in the world right now.
Yeah, one of his right-hand men, you can say, is that he was having an affair with another woman, and they were saying basically they were having cocaine parties, and one of the people that were working with Tommy Robinson, his name was Kalen Robertson. I had an interview with him. He stopped working with Tommy Robinson after me and Hijab got attacked, because he said, look, that day I realized that this is hypocrisy. Tommy Robinson is not about freedom of speech. He just doesn't like Islam. I had an interview with him. He was telling me this. He goes, look, the money that they were raising, they were having like cocaine parties and all this kind of stuff. The money, where's Tommy Robinson getting all these funds from? I don't understand. This guy owns a £1 million house. Where was he getting? Recently, he just filed bankruptcy. Yeah. Because there's a lawsuit because he slandered this Syrian refugee. So the thing is, most of these people, they're absolute hypocrites. They come, Tommy Robinson, even this his friend, Danny Dano, whatever it's called, Jada Franzen, Paul Golding, Avi Yemeni, these people, you know, they would always come to me and talk about a woman being abused in Islam. Do you know Avi Yemeni in Australia? He's like a proper Zionist. Yeah, he threw a, you know, a chopping board. Yeah, he threw that at his wife. Tommy Robinson once was caught in the public by an undercover officer abusing his wife. Paul Golding, you know Paul Golding, Britain First, Paul Golding and Jada Franzen, that woman with the red hair. Mm-hmm. You know there was a documentary, Paul Golding.
Is that one of the women that was trying to shake your hand? Yes, and then yes. You, is that the one?
Yes, yes, you know that one. She keeps talking about women's rights, yeah? You know Paul Golding, that guy she was with, he would lock her up in a room and beat her up. Did you know that?
Wow.
Did you know he would lock her up in a room and beat her up, and she had the audacity to come to me and say to me, shake my hand. And I said, with respect, I don't.
Why won't you shake my hand?
Can we get to our main point?
Well, yeah, shake my hand. Let me tell you, if you think that because we're Christians and I'm holding this cross, that you can come here, you can lie in our faces, and that you can attack our people, then you
But her boyfriend was putting his hands on her in an illegal way. But she was too busy. She was making a big deal because I didn't shake her hand in a way of respect. I didn't want to touch her. And she had a big fuss about it. But behind closed doors, her boyfriend, Paul Golding, was beating her up, physically putting her hands on her, and literally beating her up and locking her in rooms. This is the hypocrisy. All of them are wife beaters.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, before we go on and move on, we spent a lot on this. So just because we know that Islam, the same way of life that Jesus lived, Moses lived, the last final message of Prophet Muhammad, that call for the human being to acknowledge that there's one and only one creator of the heavens and the earth, and he sent messengers. And that simple message is to worship the creator, the one and only, and to be morally upright is a simple message. So if Jordan Peterson, if Joe Rogan, Ayan the Liar Hirsi Ali, any of them, if they turn their life around and they wanted to, you know, rectify their affairs, and you know, they had a moment that they realized that, okay, what's the true purpose of life, you know, and they look at the evidence. If they just look at the evidence, the preservation of the Quran, if they look at the signs that are in there, the prophecies, the miracles, if they look at the life of Prophet Muhammad sincerely, you know, from the proper lenses, and they, like most people, you know, when they do, they accept that this is the truth. You know, what would you guys say to them now? Like, if you had a chance to sit with them just quickly, what would you say to these three individuals?
Well, I would say, I mean, obviously they read the Quran, man. If they just open their eyes and their hearts, yeah, I would give them to read the Quran. Yeah, I mean, that's the best thing for them, you know. And then, subhanAllah, once they embrace Islam, khalas, all in masjids are gone, their brothers and sisters in the deen, man.
What translation? Because you know they're Orientalists. If they pick up, you know, there's been deliberate attempts by some Orientalists to go ahead and translate the Quran. So if they get a hold of one of these, which Clear Quran, Sahih International, what?
I think, you know, the Sahih International or the Quran Project, you know, .org.
So pick up the Quran, read it, all right? Instead of talking about it, read the book. I want to say, read. Well, Ali, what would you say to them, to Joe Rogan, our friend Joe Rogan, who's actually, yeah.
Same, you know. Same thing. Say, you know, yeah, like, you know, at the end of the day, look, if you want to judge a book, you know, or judge anyone, you know, imagine you're learning about someone. Imagine me learning about Joe Rogan or Jordan Peterson. I don't watch any of the videos. I don't watch his podcast. I just go and learn about him from someone that doesn't like him. Imagine I invite him and I say, you know, tell me a bit about Joe Rogan. Oh, Joe Rogan's a woman abuser. Oh, who is he? Oh, what an evil guy. You know, and then would that be fair? How would Joe Rogan feel and Jordan Peterson? They would feel like they'll be so angry. They'll be like, Ali, you could have come to me and speak to me. And you're here inviting people that dislike me. And you're learning, you're getting to know me via someone that doesn't like me. How is that fair? Well, I'm asking you the same question, Jordan Peterson and Joe Rogan. How is that fair that you're getting to know the Quran via people that don't like it? And then you have these emotional feelings and be like, oh, this can't be from God. Well, how can I blame you in the context? Well, I can blame you because you're getting to know a scripture, not for yourself, but via the enemies. You wouldn't like it for yourself, so don't do it to us.
Beautiful.